T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want to set the record straight on something this afternoon. The video that I posted on Facebook, the Scoot Report, our daily Facebook video, WWL Radio on Facebook, it just has exploded. I'll post it later on the SOTA Facebook page. People really got really sensitive to this conversation. Let me set the record straight. I did not make up this topic, the topic of President Trump being related to the second coming of Christ and being great for Jews. And the president said that every Jew should vote for him, and if not, they're disloyal. Which I think is kind of insulting, because everybody should be able to vote for who they want to vote for. But I didn't create this topic. And as I said in the video, and as I said at the beginning of the show, there will be people who will attack me for even bringing it up, because they don't agree that President Trump should have retweeted the tweet from a conservative talk show host proclaiming that Trump represents the second coming of Christ. They don't agree with that. But instead of saying they don't agree with Trump, they will be quick to attack the messenger. And that's part of my job. I mean, I get that. That's part of this job. But I want to set the record straight for you. I didn't come in here and just make up this topic. And this is all over social media, all over the country. It took off. And the other response was, Trump is not the second coming of Christ. He's the Antichrist. Well, I don't believe either one of those. I don't think Trump is the second coming of Christ. I also don't think he's the Antichrist. And this relates back to the conversation that a lot of people had, calling my radio show, really honestly believing that Barack Obama was the Antichrist. In their minds, they had taken their interpretation of the Bible and used that to declare President Obama the Antichrist. And I said, no, he's not. So, again, I didn't create this topic. I like to respond to things, and I'm not afraid to respond to things that are very, very controversial. And even if it means that people will attack me personally for bringing up the topic, I can't be afraid to talk about the things that are in the news. Okay, Mayor Cantrell yesterday released her plan to fight gun violence. It's called a Generational Gun Violence Reduction Plan. And there's a lot of good stuff in here. You know, I made a picture of margaritas last night and read through the whole thing. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't make a picture of margaritas, but I did read through the whole thing. You know, it might have been a lot more fun had I actually made the picture of margaritas. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff in here. But before we get to some of my observations, let's hear from Mayor Cantrell herself. This is a part of what she said, and this is a common thing that is said, and I caution that it's sometimes said too often, but here's part of what she said at her press conference yesterday.
And enough is enough, and we no longer want to lose. We want to win by winning lives, because they matter, and all of them truly do matter.
When she said enough is enough, I mean, I get it. You have to say that. But when it comes to saying enough is enough, I say saying enough is enough is enough. Mayor Landrieu said that every time something happened. Enough is enough. And so the term, the phrase enough is enough, sort of loses credibility when people constantly say, well, enough is enough. And then you hear this in neighborhoods when something bad has happened in a neighborhood. The people in the neighborhood say, enough is enough. We have to stop this. But nothing changes. Nothing changes. Part of Mayor Cantrell's plan, a generational gun violence reduction plan. And look, I'm impressed with a lot of things in this plan. And I applaud her for coming up with a plan. She talked about how they're going to use scientific data to fight gun violence.
We know that we have to coordinate interventions that have to be measured effectively, and you can only do that with scientific data.
You know, the scientific data is going to support the reality of gun violence in our city. And, you know, this plan actually could turn out to be a plan for other cities as well, if it works. But the statistics about gun violence in the city are striking. I mean, we know how bad it is. But here's the other interesting thing. It's mainly committed by a small group of people, a small segment of the population. Here's part of what the mayor had to say about gun violence and how it affects you and me.
And what we do know is that it traumatizes the entire community, not only the victims, but even those associated with perperpetrators. It's not a win-win. It truly is a lose-lose.
I can't imagine what it would be like to live in a neighborhood where you have to come up with a plan to tell the kids to get down below the window and get away from the door when they hear gunshots. And it's so easy if you don't live in that environment. If you live in a really nice suburban area, and not everybody feels this way, but if you live in a nice suburban area, there are people who can't even relate to that, and they go, well, that's not my problem. And maybe they don't even say it out loud, but subconsciously they're thinking, that's not my problem. It's their problem. They created the problem. That's their problem. But I mean, as human beings, we don't care. And as we know, crime does not stay confined to some neighborhoods. Crime spreads out. And it really does affect all of us, and it could affect any of us at any time. And I guess, you know, when I live downtown, you live downtown, you live in certain situations, you live in certain neighborhoods, you really are more face-to-face with this problem. And it's easy for many people to say, well, no, that's not a problem, but it really is, and it really is our problem. 2017 is the latest year for government statistics. In 2017, that's the most recent year for the national statistics. I mean, that's how behind the government is. They're working on 2018 now. There were 157 murders in New Orleans. At that rate, that's 39.5 murders per 1,000 residents. 136 of the 157 murders were the result of gun violence. I want you to remember this number. In 2017, the last year for national statistics, there were 39.5 murders per 1,000 residents. The national average for the same year is 5.3 per 100,000 residents. New Orleans has 7 times the national average and ranks number 5 nationally in the murder rate every year, at least in the top 5 since 1987, mainly because of gun violence. So there's little doubt that something needs to be done. We'll talk about what's good about this plan. I'll talk about some things that I'm concerned with, that I hope my concerns are just not significant. I mean, I hope my concerns are proven wrong, because I really hope this works, and I applaud Mayor Cantrell for coming up with this plan. And also, when we come back, there's really 3 main parts to her plan. I'm going to let you hear her tell you about the 3 main parts of the plan, and we'll talk about that. Also this hour, I want to add to the conversation. Fox News host Sean Hannity echoed what many believe. Democrats controlling cities has created a socialist nightmare. Do you agree? If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. I wasn't there last night. To be very honest with you, I saw a video of Adam Lambert with Queen. And I know, you know, I thought the guy was great on American Idol. I heard him do Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought he was phenomenal. But the video that I saw of Adam Lambert left me a little empty. It didn't really match as well as I thought it would. And I compare that to an interview that I did with a guy. We're trying to find the video of that interview. There was a Queen tribute show that had come to Harris a year or so ago. And man, this guy from Great Britain, he's a Freddie Mercury look-alike and sound-alike. This guy would have been much better in that role. And having talked to this guy and seen this guy perform, honestly, Adam Lambert left me feeling like there was something missing. But, you know, you could give me your review of it. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And, of course, this is one of the songs they did last night. And it really doesn't matter who sings this song. This is one hell of a song. And Queen has great music. And I love that Brian May is still doing this. I love that. That's just so sad that Freddie Mercury is not with us, because he was indeed one of a kind. It's so difficult for us to decide when to go to the break because we want to play this whole song because it's such a good song. But we can't. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Amazing. And if you have not seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, go see it. Well, you don't have to go see it. I mean, I guess it's not playing anywhere, but find it online or find it on demand or wherever and watch the movie. Here's a text that says, you're right, kind of karaoke-like. Sometimes Lambert overperforms. Another text says, Adam Lambert was fantastic, with fantastic in all caps. Here's a text that says, I agree, it's a great song, but it doesn't matter who sings it. I'm not taking anything away from Adam Lambert, just giving props to Freddie Mercury. Yeah, I mean, after I interviewed this guy, and we had the interview and video on our Facebook page when this Queen tribute band was in town, and the guy was just amazing. And so, honestly, when I saw Adam Lambert, something to me was missing. Again, you may have loved it. I know there's a review that says it was karaoke-like. It was more like a musical than a concert. And, I was not there. I had things to do, and I did not go out of my way to see it. I know it's legendary. If you went and enjoyed it, that's great. I'm not criticizing anybody for going. But it was just not something that I felt like I absolutely had to do. We're talking about Mayor Cantrell's plan to fight gun violence. And Ian, do we have this? Do we have the moment when she's talking about? Hang on. Number six. All right. Yeah, I want to go through this. But by the way, I want to just take a moment to recognize and thank Ian Hoke, my studio producer. This guy is awesome. I've worked with a lot of producers in my career, and Ian is on top of it. I wish you could see what he does and how he does it. In fact, what we'll do is we'll find a way to do some of what he does live on Facebook, and we'll put that on our Facebook page so you can see what he does, because he deserves a hell of a lot of credit. And this is not an easy show to produce. We've got, you know, the music is such a big part of our show, queuing up to the right spots. The stuff that we do, this is not an easy show to do. So, Ian, thank you very much for all that you do. And I mentioned it at the end of the show, studio producer Ian Hoke, but he deserves a lot more than that. So I would like to work out a time for us to show you what he does. And, I mean, we're kind of frantic during breaks sometimes, and he does a great job. So here's Mayor Cantrell spelling out the three pillars of her plan to reduce gun violence in New Orleans.
There are three main pillars that are associated with our reduction plan. And one is to establish a gun violence prevention collective. We know that we have to coordinate interventions that have to be measured effectively. And you can only do that with scientific data and research, which is very much important and is a priority for us standing here for this administration. We also look to solving homicides to prevent homicides. Without a doubt, when we have a high solve rate, we see less homicides. And we are seeing that in the city of New Orleans. Our current solve rate, we're at 61%, and our current clearance rate is at 56%. Still work to be done, but it demonstrates that our New Orleans Police Department are truly investigating, doing what it takes to solve these homicides that we have seen throughout our history in the city of New Orleans. But today, the lowest that we've seen since the 40s, in the past 40 years. Cure violence is also our third pillar, which is not only our program in regards to being active, involved in the community, on the ground, with families, with young people, for this community every step of the way, which will be an integral part of our plan.
Here's one of my concerns. There's a lot in her plan that is bureaucratic. And I understand. I like the prevention collective. I like the public health approach to gun violence, because public health is part of this. Collecting the data is important. I don't know that we really have enough data on really specifically why people end up the way they end up. And I've often talked on this show about why aren't there more comprehensive studies of interviews with those who have gotten into the gun violence culture. What is it that led them to this? Why are there not common denominators? And I think one of the fears is there are people who don't want the answer to come out. But you can't solve the problem if you don't know why it's happening. And so we have to be honest about this. I just hope that this plan is not too bureaucratic. And I guess here's something else that we can talk about. What is it that you think I can do or you can do to help cut gun violence and be part of this plan? 260-1870, text 870-870. New Orleans Mayor Cantrell yesterday released her gun violence plan. It's officially titled the Generational Gun Violence Reduction Plan. And there's a lot in here that is bureaucratic. A lot is tied to public health and using those resources to gain the statistics to help define the problem. But I was also impressed by the idea that this is also about focusing on the communities that are most likely to be involved. And here's a part of the gun violence. The Gun Violence Collective that they're proposing. Research shows that gun violence is incredibly concentrated in American cities, with only a small fraction of a city's population involved in the majority of the violence. 70% of all the victims of non-fatal gunshot injuries in Chicago can be located in a social network comprised of less than 5% of the city's population. Also, in high-crime areas of Boston, the community found that nearly 85% of all victims of fatal and non-fatal gunshot injuries could be located in a network comprised of 763 connected individuals. And then it goes on to say gun violence in New Orleans is no different, and this collective will focus on coordinating services so that resources are deployed to those who are most at risk. And it talks about summer jobs. It talks about availability of mentors. It does touch on the people themselves, because we can't have just another task force. We can't have just more bureaucracy. That's not going to solve it. It makes a politician feel like they're doing something about it. And I'm not saying that this is what Mayor Cantrell is doing, but in the past, there have been task forces, and the politicians will say, "We're doing this. This is what we're going to do to solve the problem," and it doesn't do anything. It's all bureaucratic BS. And so, I hope this works, but also we need to start thinking about what we can do, you and me, even if we don't live in those neighborhoods. What can we do to help this plan work? Because it's in our best interest to make it work. Also, Mayor Cantrell, and I applaud her for this, was very realistic about the idea that this is not going to go away overnight. This is going to take a long time. And sometimes it's almost as if it's going to take so long is the reason why some people don't want to do anything about it or feel helpless. So we've got to start somewhere. And I hope this is a plan that works. From the Ninth Ward, Tim, welcome to our show.
Sir,
Hey, Tim.
How would you, I mean, may you please tell Mayor Cantrell to go and take guns away from criminals? How is she going to do that?
Well, she can't.
Exactly. That is my point. Us people that have the right in the Second Amendment to carry and have our arms, we need that. That's what made America.
Well, who's suggesting everyone should be armed?
All right,
who's suggesting that you not have that right?
Well, they're trying to take our gun privileges away.
Who's they?
Every time they're passing bills and what's going on in Washington.
Tim, who's they?
The politicians.
I don't see that happening.
They want to take our guns away. Oh, you haven't heard about all this gun rights strife that's been going on?
Yeah, do you still have your guns?
Of course I do.
Okay, so why do you think they're going to take your...
Now they're saying they're going to come by and try to collect people's weapons.
Who said that? That's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. That's
I'm not going to let you get away with this kind of ridiculous rhetoric just to fire people up. And this is the problem with the gun rights activist is that they're spreading false lies.
If everyone would be armed, we would be a safer country. Because then other people would know that everybody's armed, and the felons and the criminals would know, you might just get shot.
Okay. So in Japan, nobody's armed. So should everybody be armed there? Should everybody be armed everywhere?
Wait, sir, you're speaking of Japan,
which
is one of the countries that we cleaned up. Number two, look at all the other countries in Europe that have banned weapons, and there are more deaths, killings, and everything else going on because the criminals.
Okay, so if everybody, are you saying in all these countries, if everybody was armed, that wouldn't be a problem? And what do you mean we cleaned up Japan? I mean, we destroyed Japan.
We didn't destroy her.
No, we didn't, Jim.
We fought her in a war.
We didn't drop a bomb. We didn't. There was no destruction.
Yeah, but you know what we did is we built her up.
Yeah, well, we did.
When that was all done and good,
and that
we
helped
built
us.
Her up.
And that helped
and
us, too.
And that's why it was one of the strongest in the 80s.
But Tim, I'm going to have to get to a break here, but I want to go back to this idea that if everybody's armed, that's going to eliminate gun violence.
Of course it would. Just think about that.
I'm thinking about it.
If you walk down the street that everyone has a gun, are you going to pull one unless you really mean to do something? I don't think so.
So
I think everyone should be armed like the Old West.
Well, people were killed in the Old West. Everybody had a gun and people were killed. Okay, well.
That's all about going after the bad guys. And the bad guys going after the good guys.
We try to do that now.
Well, unfortunately, if you take weapons away from the American citizens,
well, no, okay, wait, Tim, let me set the record straight here, Tim.
Built on the freedom and the Second Amendment.
I don't know what world you live in, but you are not going to lose your guns. And if you have bought into that ridiculous fear factor from the NRA,
you lose my guns.
You're not.
If they come try to get them, they're going to be lost first.
Okay. Well, you're a fact, Jack. Yeah, you're a tough guy, man. We need more tough people. We need more tough people like you. You know, we've gone over this recently on the show about how, in many cases, you would have to shoot somebody. We talked about this with Andy Dick. Well, not with him, but about the Andy Dick situation. If somebody near Andy Dick would have had a gun, they would have had to shoot the suspect before he touched Andy Dick. If that would have happened, then this person may go to trial because there would be a discussion about whether or not he knew what this guy was going to do before he did it. And look, this is the fear factor that is used to brainwash you. You're not going to lose your right to keep and bear arms, but it's a political ploy to get you scared enough to think that the only thing you can do is vote for a particular type of candidate. There is nothing on the horizon that suggests guns are going to be taken away. Nothing. And there's nothing in Supreme Court rulings that indicate that the Supreme Court is even going to support any idea to ban your guns. We're talking about cutting down on gun violence in New Orleans. Mayor Cantrell's plan. And then you get a call from a guy like this who is just like, you know. And, you know, these are the people who think they're the only patriots in this country. Well, I got a thought for you. You're not the only patriots in America. Because I'm patriotic, too. And I don't believe any of what you believe. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. You know, it doesn't often happen, but so far the show's not even over yet. We have two cuckoo calls of the day. We're going to isolate those, and they will be on our website, WWL.com. You'll just go to the Scoot page, click on menu at the top. They're not up yet, but they'll both be up there very soon. Also, I'll share it on my SOTA Facebook page after the show, so you can hear them there or on our website, WWL.com. From New Orleans, country, welcome to our show.
Hey, how's it going, Scoot?
Good.
Look, I'm calling in regards to Tim Cole and everybody else like this. I want to say that all these mass shootings, the climb the hook everywhere, neither one of those people were criminals. We keep talking about criminals, the guns in the hands of criminals, and so on and so forth. We need something to keep control what type of guns and how many guns you have.
Yeah.
For everybody, because like I say, stop blaming stuff on criminals. Nobody has been a criminal as has done these mass shootings.
Well, you know, criminals.
That's the bottom line.
I mean, this is a legitimate point, country. I mean, there are criminals who do commit crimes with guns, and then there are some that become criminals because they commit violent acts with guns. Here's a text that brings up an interesting point. If the caller was right, and that gun violence would be eradicated if everybody had a gun. This text says every police officer has a gun. They get shot all the time. I mean, it's a great point. And if everybody had a gun, think about this, a society where everybody has a gun, in theory, I understand the point the guy's making, but it's not logical. If everybody had a gun with the idea that you're the one that's going to shoot, what if you bump into somebody? Do you realize how many gun deaths and injuries there would be if everybody had a gun? Because everybody is not qualified to have a gun. You might have the right to carry a gun, but everybody's not going to be good with a gun. So to say that everybody should be armed, I think, is an insult to every legitimate, responsible, legal gun owner in America. Here's a quick update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Fox News host Sean Hannity echoed what many believe Democrats controlling cities has created a socialist nightmare. 79% agree, 21% do not agree. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. I've got to get to a break here, but before we do that, I agree to some degree with Sean Hannity on this. Because over the years, the failure to really address the problem has been part of a liberal agenda. And there has been too little focus on the real problem out of fear that it was going to not be fair to some people. And it's in this country, we do give suspects rights. Criminals do have rights, but sometimes that almost gives people permission to just do whatever they want. And the truth is, and I think liberal ideology has contributed to this, the truth is that the consequences for committing gun violence in New Orleans are not bad enough, not severe enough, to stop some people from committing acts of violence with guns. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, 260-1870. Our text is 870-870. All right, I'm Scoot. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Hey, the week is half over. I want to have a little fun in the next hour, if it's okay with you. You know, the conversation about This relationship between President Trump and the second coming of Christ has caused people to go on Facebook and social media sites and call him the Antichrist. You know, let's leave Trump out of this, but, you know, let's have a little fun next hour talking about, you know, who really might be the Antichrist. Because, you know, they might be out there. Here's a text that says, I like Chris Rock's idea to make bullets cost $5,000 a piece to make someone think twice before wasting a bullet. In fact, I think that's why the Lone Ranger used silver bullets. And my understanding was he used silver bullets because it was a precious metal, and it would remind him the high cost of human life every time he shot a gun. We've been talking about Mayor Cantrell's plan to do something about gun violence in New Orleans. A lot of positive things about the plan. We'll continue that conversation in the next hour as well. And here's a text that that says, how about the state troopers at NOPD do random metal detector checks in the French Quarter? You know, that idea has come up. And I mean, there's some merit to that. And I think there is actually a way to do that legally. And, you know, they do take a lot of guns off the street, but there could be ways to take more guns off the street. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. Our show continues right after the news on WFUL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.